Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It's so nice to have you with us this evening, and we'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 17th on the West Coast, or if you are in the East Coast or the Central Time Zones, then you know it's now February the 18th. And I'm looking at my atomic clock, and it has reset itself to January 25th, Sunday. It's kind of interesting, and it's showing the temperature in the studio is pretty high. That means we're going to have a barn burner of a show tonight. Well, the word is out that ice caused the crash. Of course, the media has been pushing this. The crash of the plane, flight number 3407, a continental flight that didn't make it to the Buffalo International Airport and decided to land on a house in Clarence Center, New York. We have people who mysteriously look out their doors and their windows 15 minutes before the plane even arrives at their neighborhood, and they've determined that trees at, let's say, somewhere around 5 minutes after 10 p.m. in the dark, mind you, chemtrail-laden skies, they have determined that ice has formed on the trees, and therefore, if a plane should come over, likely it will crash because of ice formations that have occurred. That's what one is led to believe when you listen to the eyewitness testimony of some rather questionable eyewitnesses. They describe various amounts of time it takes to get to the crash site. They seem to have a handle on what caused the plane crash the moment they arrive there. In some instances, when they hear there was a plane crash, they knew it was ice. They knew without the National Transportation Safety Board actually investigating, without the black boxes being discovered, without the air traffic controllers even releasing a recording. These people are psychic. These people have crystal balls, and they know exactly what happened. And they also know how to get on the media. They know how to get on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They just have an open door, an open line. And, of course, you send an email or I call. In fact, I have a talk show that's heard all over the world, and I can't get through. But these nobodies can. And I find it kind of interesting. We're going to talk about that and many other anomalies and many other coincidences, if there is such a thing, with tonight's guest, who is an author. He's also an expert on nutrition and whole, sound health, and he's published some very interesting books. One is very controversial, Wrongly Blamed, and it's the story of 9/11, what really occurred with the Arab box cutter wielding hijackers, as well as the London bombings and who played the role in that. Our guest, who was on last night, and is a good friend, Dr. Qasem Khalil. Dr. K, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back again. My pleasure. Boy, there's a lot of things that the world's asking us to do. One of them seems to be they want us to suspend the laws of physics, and the laws of, you know, nature. Just throw it all out. Because CNN or Fox News says so. It's pretty incredible when you really look at it. If you were to listen to some things and then really get the facts, it's more than you can ever believe, really, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned the laws of physics, because here we have we have a new invention, the laws of logic and the laws of propaganda. It doesn't
the laws
end.
Of how many people can you convince or fool into succumbing to it because you're supposed to be an authority or you wear even a blue jacket with yellow letters or whatever, and nobody gets to think for themselves, even if they feel a bit suspect about something. Like, for example, since when does any kind of a jet drop straight down? You had that big plane that had to flop down in the Hudson River, but she didn't come straight down in 5 seconds, 1,000 feet almost, just drop, even with engine failure, that pilot worked on securing the best landing and saved those lives. But with Beverly Eckert's plane and all the other souls on there, we're to believe that it was just a standard weather issue that would cause a plane to suddenly drop and to suddenly fall off of radar. Boom! It's off. Now this is while everything's normal. Everything was in perfect harmony, and there's communication between the control tower and the pilots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they request entrance to the final landing, and they get that, and everything's fine, and we're 2,300 feet, come to 2,300 feet now, and, go this way and get, start coming down to us. And then the controller saying, hey, wait a minute, I just talked to you, where are you? Where are you? Noticing immediately that something's amiss. He's lost, and then he very quickly says, hey, to another pilot, check. Is there something? No, there's no abnormal anything going on until this happens. They've got other pilots. Nobody's talking about ice. Nobody's talking about anything. We're talking about the pilots and the control tower. And I'm not talking about CNN and ABC or Fox News, what they're saying. I'm not talking about what the New York Times is writing. Or what AOL is writing. I'm just talking about what is happening between the pilots and the control tower. It's totally normal. And with all the other planes, it's totally normal. There's absolutely no indication of anything. They're not talking about watch out for the wind shear, nothing, okay? Zero.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to suspend our reason and say, within 6 hours that it's ice. The network says it's ice. Oh my goodness, people!
Oh yeah,
how are you going to know that if the control tower doesn't? Yeah.
You actually have these people who are saying that they're in their pajamas, telling you what the weather conditions are.
Well, you have the weather saying one thing, and then you've got a couple of individuals that fit right into this. It's ice, Fox News, CNN. It's ice. And you have a couple people on the ground saying some kind of things that don't make a lot of sense. It's true. They don't interview the people who are saying the opposite. I will tell you what they were saying. So you've got people on the ground. You've got a very suspicious event happening with this plane in relatively good weather, falling out of the sky. And, you have a Dash 8, same plane that lands a little later with absolutely no distress or any issue whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the Dash 8 that landed then or the Dash 8 that fell out of the sky? You know what one Dash 8 pilot said? I've got some contacts with pilots now. He said, look, I've been flying that kind of a plane for years, and it's the toughest plane around. We can fly that plane into hurricanes better than we can any other standard vehicle in the skies. It's a tough plane.
Yes, so, and this is a new plane that we were talking about.
Do you know that there's not a single crash of that plane in its whole history? A fatal crash? Not one fatal crash, period. Not one.
Before this event, of course, you're saying.
Of course. Well, but that's what I'm saying. Not one due to mechanical failure. Not one crash due to, weather. Is that not important to say that now we have something with a suspicious wound, a suspicious event, first time, but it's associated with something very suspect?
Mm-hmm. Dr. K, when you have two out of three witnesses, and I'm referring to this tape that we discussed yesterday, which was really not a genuine example of a production. You have video that belongs to some other audio content. You can tell that by the names that are being flashed up on the screen. And the interview is being carried by several different networks. CNN, Channel 7, which is a Fox channel, and then Channel 2, which I believe is an NBC channel, on the same representation of these interviews. So this is a collage of audio interviews superimposed. Actually, it's a CNN audio interview with hosted by Anderson Cooper. And he's got the names of these people. Now, I was able to study the tape, and all of these people are called in. Now, they were interviewed prior to this. In fact, the interviews are taking place around 2 hours after the crash. And these people are talking to Anderson Cooper on the telephone. And the first guy is a guy who's interviewed basically because he provided some videotape. But he takes his camera to an event that he claims he has no idea as to what the event is that he's actually traveling to. He only finds out when he gets there from the people who are standing around what the event was. But he decided it was important to film this, despite the fact that he claims he didn't know what it was. Now, he describes himself as in pajamas, and that it's...
Nobody else said that kind of thing.
Well, these witnesses, all three, were in pajamas.
Yeah, I know. But besides that group, the normal people weren't talking about what they were wearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 12-year-old girl who was a witness, Tomasita Trujillo, was working on the computer at that time, downloading songs from iTunes, I would guess, or videos.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly she was doing, but there's a reference to iTunes, and her mother seems to be somewhat lucid about her explanation, but the little girl is giving the most accurate, believable account of all the witnesses, the 12-year-old.
That's right. Yeah.
The rest of the people are describing things that that really don't make a lot of sense in terms of timeline and distances. You have a misrepresentation of where the person was, the one witness, in respect to the crash site. And the second one, the woman, is the one who is in also in her pajamas and describes having looked outside, seen the ice on the trees, and therefore that's she's determining that that there's ice on the plane.
Why wouldn't they interview the bombardier experts as far as the cause of a crash potentially, or a pilot? Why would they assume her role in that vein? I mean, that's,
well, you see, it gives the illusion that they're doing an honest investigation, and that you're getting first-hand accounts of the people who were there. Yet none of these people actually saw the event. When the woman gets there, and she claims that, and her quote is, "I live from one quarter to a half a mile away." Now, she claims that she gets there, and she's there before the emergency crews are there, a volunteer fire department is 20 seconds away from the crash site, according to another witness, that it's basically across the street.
I think there was a volunteer fire across the street, pretty much, something like that.
Yeah. So I'm not saying, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know who arrived first and
close,
who arrived
anyway.
Second.
It's a small township in any case, but go ahead.
Yeah. But this woman has quite a substantial drive to get there. It takes...
Yeah.
Through city streets, especially with a plane crash and the subsequent traffic and pedestrian traffic and the chaos going on, she has to put on her clothes. She describes putting on her clothes and then going out and I'm pretty sure she said she drove out there, But she got there before any of the rescue vehicles got there. Now, we have three different accounts as to how many people are there, how many vehicles are there, and she claims to have gotten there before all these people. Now, that's quite possible, but the timelines don't fit. The descriptions don't fit. And very suspicious, you know, I'm not saying people aren't in their pajamas at 20 minutes after 10 at night. But the three witnesses all make an effort to describe that. And it's really not... It really has nothing to do with what happened.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with it, and none of the other witnesses said anything about pajamas or slippers, you know. They were concerned about whether they could help people, or, you know, there were neighbors screaming and houses struck. And they just talked about how they rushed out or what they saw in the sky before the crash and then what they saw at the crash. And these three are a real curiosity. Now, we do know that if you commit a mass murder that's a plot, especially if you kill important people or dissidents or potential threats to the hierarchy, that in the past the powers to be have used faux witnesses. We have them in September the 11th. We have them at the Pentagon. We have them in Shanksville. Now, the fact that you're finding anomalies in witnesses is worthy of investigation because there's a couple of other anomalies that fit with that. And perhaps the biggest one is they refuse to talk to the witnesses that saw what happened to the plane before it struck. Fox News, CNN, I don't know why I would challenge them. None of them reported on those witnesses, even though they were the most lucid.
Yes. And they began promoting this idea that the plane had ice, and then they brought their experts to convince the public that it was ice, even though the NTSB hadn't even concluded the initial part of their investigation.
They hadn't even started. Now, the ice thing started getting promoted before black boxes were dug out of the tail section, by the way, and even though the control tower gave them, control tower officials in the county, Buffalo County, said, no, we have no indication whatsoever of any kind of weather condition that would account for this. And as far as we're concerned, everything was normal for all the planes.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, whatever little ice there might have been, whatever, they didn't regard it as being abnormal, if there even was any ice. Because the only ones that we know of for sure that are repeatedly talking about ice are the networks. Now, the second issue that's critical here is that those three witnesses said that it was fire, not ice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They talked about fire encompassing most of the plane before it struck the ground. And one woman saw it a little earlier than that and said there was a glow. That's very suspicious, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are prop planes. They're fueled by jet fuel. And the only thing is that jet fuel is creating a propeller motion, so they don't die unless there's a dire catastrophe with the electronics or with the engine itself or some sort of bomb or missile or a device that would disable the engine. They don't sputter. Remember, now you've got witnesses saying that we've got our pilots now telling us that the sputter thing is a phony deal because they're jet engines, essentially, that propel a propeller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either they work or they don't. Yeah.
Now, if you imagine, you know, just think the logic through. You know, you're in a flight path. This has come out in much of the eyewitness testimony. Oh, we have planes coming over all the time. So are people going to be inclined when they're in their pajamas every time a plane comes over their house or somewhere in the vicinity of the neighborhood to look out the window or open up the doors to take a look at that plane?
No, only if there was an unusual explosion or noise or something very bizarre, that a shriek, a low-flying object, you wouldn't necessarily walk out the door, but you would notice something completely different.
Yeah, now we have two of those key three witnesses that we've been talking about have no idea what happened, okay? And of course we have the ice lady that knows everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And,
but you
and,
have John Nance that disputes it all, too, because he was being interviewed by ABC, and he said it's a real stretch for you guys to be talking ICE. In fact, he even said, I suspect something completely different. He's mm-hmm. their aviation expert.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the point I'm making here is that on our show last night, we had a caller who played devil's advocate, according, you know, to himself, and said, you know, likely there would have been hundreds of eyes in this little, this farming community turned recently. It's a little bedroom community now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at these houses on the map, they're some of them are spread out, but it doesn't appear that everyone in that town would even have a view of what some of these people are describing. Particularly, two of the witnesses had no view of what happened, and it's quite possible all three. When we have a chance to really compare where these people live, part of the problem is one of the witnesses doesn't have an address anywhere near the area. At least,
yeah.
He doesn't have a telephone. So how did CNN get his telephone?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, how were they able to make contact with him? And one of the witnesses does not live at the address in the town there, actually lives
whereas,
in Buffalo.
Whereas with Mrs. Weiner, for instance, who saw fire on the plane, and also the Trujillo, the Tomasito, and her mother, they are legitimate addressees. So it's quite a contrast when you see that the ones they don't interview to any major degree in terms of the ones that physically saw the fire on the plane, you've traced them to have physical addresses in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, just to show that this isn't a conspiracy, I'm going to quote Captain J.W. He said, quote, I can assure you that Colgan has some of the best, you know, everybody's talking, let's put the picture out. It's not just the witnesses that are being interviewed by CNN that are obscuring the truth, so-called witnesses, but it's also the anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anchors are saying that the pilot, first of all, the anchors are saying it's ice accumulation on the windshield and on the wings that downed the plane. Then the anchors on Fox News now, Alyssa and Brian and company, said that the plane lurched upwards in an attempt to coerce us to think that it was having trouble, so he had to go back up. Then Geraldo Rivera came in, and he started saying that it was pilot error. That got the pilots to emailing and posting, okay? The pilots said that, first of all, you're lying, and so did some of the common public. The tape from the control tower says that the plane did not go up. It strictly came down from 3,000 feet to 2,300 and was descending on in for its final. You are fabricating this. We're going to turn Fox off. I mean, they got really upset. So they were. Why is Fox so desperate to tell a fabrication? Then when Geraldo got on and started banging the pilot, then the pilot started pounding back and defending this, saying you have no business blaming the pilot. Nobody even knows what's going on and to that degree. But one of the captains called in and said, I can assure you that Colgan has some of the best trained captains with superb stick and rudder skills. The Northeast is their bread and butter. They are used to conditions far worse than this. I trained numerous captains on the Q400, and they're quite skilled. Colgan started operations in January 08 of this plane. I was there from the inception. I helped train the pilots and brought numerous of these aircrafts from the factory. You know, he then says that this plane is skilled to handle conditions far more dire than those conditions on January the 12th.
Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned on a past show, last night, actually on two shows, we mentioned the fact that the only problems that airline had with those airplanes was a result of sabotage that occurred in Scandinavia. And those were not even crashes.
No, and then there was a maintenance sabotage, whatever, And the media was sure to beat up on the plane on the basis of those landing craft, front nose landing craft issues.
Yeah, and we
did
we
they ever say that this is the first Dash 8 that's ever fallen from the sky? Never said a word.
Yeah, and we raised the issue about the autopilot or manual issue on RBN last night, and I think on my show as well.
That's another issue that they're pounding.
Mm-hmm.
To try to make it sound like the pilot made an error.
Yes, and we knew that that was going to become part of the blame.
No.
It was pointed out to us that had a missile or some other device taken, let's say, had it been targeted at the plane and collided with some aspect of the plane, the wing or the fuselage, in a sensitive area, and these missiles can do that. They're not necessarily heat-seeking missiles, but follow the trajectory of the plane. Mm-hmm. Then, in that case, I pointed out that I thought that it would completely wipe out communications and
exactly.
likely the electronics.
Sure.
And you have the NTSB saying that the pilot should have been flying under manual control. I even brought up that issue that it's quite possible that she had tried to do that and was unsuccessful because
unable
the electronics
to, yeah.
were destroyed.
Unable to do anything. Dead silence. Okay?
Yeah.
Everything, how you doing? We're doing fine. Come here. Okay, no problem. Boom. Nothing. Boom.
Yes.
Drops from the sky.
And that would have not been the only plane with ice on it, had it had ice on it.
All the other planes landed without incident, including some turboprops. And a Dash 8 landed shortly thereafter. Now, here's another captain. I've been a captain for a major airline and got my start in the industry flying at the Dash 8 for a regional. I've got 8,000 hours on the Dash 8. It's a lot of hours. Found it to be a very reliable airframe. See the airframe issues? It can handle a bit of ice. Wasn't that much
mm-hmm.
ice? If there was any ice that time in Buffalo, the weather was relatively clear. It wasn't a snowstorm. These jets are coming and these turboprops are coming in snowstorms. They're stuck sometimes in the beginnings of hurricanes. They're all over the place. Anyway, he said that I've flown the Dash 8 in the face of approaching hurricanes when all other aircraft was grounded. It's that tough. This line of aircraft goes back 25 years. Sadly, this is the first time a Dash 8 has been involved in any accident involving a fatality. Now, then you have Beverly Eckert there who said, I won't stop until there's justice. And then you have Obama saying 911's behind us. We're not doing 911. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in essence, Beverly Eckert was saying 911's an inside job.
Yes, she was saying.
Yeah,
absolutely. She was saying, and she was saying that Guantanamo is unjust. She was saying rendition is unjust. So no matter what spin you're seeing, now talk about spin. Don, on this postings on Fox, there's a spinner in here, a guy by the name of Scott, and he spins everything towards the ice. Here he is, 8 hours or 10 hours after the crash, and he's the expert. And he's got 10 or 8 posts all on ice, ice, ice. You got Geraldo, ice, ice, ice. You know, you've got Fox News and CNN, ice, ABC, ice. And TSB, Chelander, is saying, wait a minute, we don't know that it's ice, right? How many times did he have to fight with reporters saying that? They kept trying to shove it down his throat. And maybe eventually he'll just succumb, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Geraldo would do us a favor if he would go back to looking for Al Capone's lost treasure.
Well, you mean here you've got a Zionist mole that's supposed to masquerade as a reporter, and he's going to do is obfuscate. He's going to cover for Israel. That's it. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So now if he's pushing 8 to 10 hours so vigorously to blame the pilot. You have to be suspicious, knowing that he's in his whole agenda is not American. I mean, whatever it is, do you have to be suspicious that there's a crime scene here that he's covering up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you do have Tomasita, is that right? It was Tomasita Trujillo, right?
Trujillo,
that
yes.
Trujillo, yeah. The little girl, the 12-year-old, you have her saying, look, that plane had fire on it, on the fuselage, essentially on one of the engines. You know, it's a child, 12-year-old speaking, so I'm going to paraphrase it, just make it. So she says there's fire on the fuselage, one wing is engulfed, and the other wing isn't. Now, isn't that an interesting assessment?
Mm-hmm.
What could do that? If you had a heat-seeking or infrared or trajectory-seeking missile, but if it was somehow correlated with infrared, wouldn't it hit? It can't hit both engines, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So the fire is going to be primarily for the short duration on one side. Oh my God.
Well, it could also be targeted at a certain point on the plane where they know it's going to affect the electronics. It wouldn't have to necessarily hit an engine or a wing. You take out the electronics, you disable all the operating mechanisms in the whole plane.
Yeah, you could do a frontal assault into the nose cone, but whatever it was, it lit that baby up in the skies.
Yeah, and we've gotten a different account from another witness that was driving, and we mentioned that, and even his description of the sound was different. So,
well, the sputtering, according to, yeah, and just good point, because those guys that are saying sputter are trying mm-hmm. to make it look like the plane kind of, you know, and they're
yeah.
not familiar with the turboprop. The people who are credible, it would seem, are those who seem to testify to what a turboprop does, which is that when it's done, it's done. And that's what they said. They, you know, there was some kind of a high-pitched noise or some kind of a generator that was going on fire. And then it was dead silence. That means it was the engines were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was another testimony that the girl said it looked like something was clinging on the plane. Now, you know, if she saw that at the time of impact, you know, think about that. So, now, what's confirmatory about this, when that plane crashed, there was a wing that was intact, whereas the rest of it was wrangled metal.
Yeah.
So, that wing that was intact was not as charred as the other wing. It goes right straight to her testimony.
Well, I also described having seen the video live during my interview with Ken Adachi on Thursday night, Friday morning, while these live interviews were being conducted on television. I had the sound down, but I saw the picture, and it was a repeated loop, and it did not show the image of the tree branches in front of what appeared to be a wing. She described the same thing. She described it standing straight up, which was my description.
Yeah.
Now, that image has not been shown in any of the videos that are posted on the internet, and I would presume they're not being shown on television either. They realize they made some mistakes. They realize we picked up on some things that no one thought we would.
Right.
And we're not alone in this. Okay, here we have a girl in the town that's describing the same phenomenon, and there are people who are posting videos that describe also that same situation.
There are at least four residents of Clarence Center that happen to see a orange to yellow flash phenomenon, ranging from the flash phenomenon, which could have been impact, including missile. You can't rule it out.
Mm-hmm.
Handheld Stinger, others, you know, Byron out there, or some sort of explosive device or some other sort of machinery that, from that description to it's on fire to engulfing flames, all of those have been given by residents of Clarence Center. Now, wouldn't that be worthy of Fox News if they were, you know, into reporting? But if they were into knowing that these people would be killed and they're a cover-up machinery, as in 911, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody be surprised? After all, we haven't seen Fox News say we know that concussive charges blew the people out to shreds, turned them into splinters, wiped out the core columns, you know?
Yes. Now, going back to the female witness, the lady that's the expert on ice on the trees, and ice is the cause of the crash, she says, and her first name is Kathleen, she says that immediately upon hearing the sound of the crash, she opened her door, stuck her head out the door. She's in her pajamas, and she smells this this acrid smell, this pungent smell. She's, according to her testimony, more than once she said this in her interview, I live from a quarter to a half a mile away. Instantly, she could smell the crash from where she was.
Yeah, a mile is a good, pretty good distance, that's for sure.
Even if the wind is blowing in that direction, there's no guarantee that she's smelling it. And I haven't determined where her house is actually in respect to the crash site. But it would be interesting if she was upwind from that.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see how she could smell that. You know, this is starting to sound like 9/11.
Well, it is starting to sound, yeah. Because you've, on the post sites, you've got these definite agents that are trying to beat up on the pilot, first of all. But more importantly, mm-hmm. they're pushing the ice agenda. Now, don't forget that the issue of ice buildup on the cockpit and on the so-called ice buildup was not announced by the control tower or the pilot as an issue in the landing approach, okay? Don't forget that the issue of ice buildup was announced not by NTSB, who kept fighting back that push by reporters, but by the news agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the weather channels. The weather channels tried to say, well, there was a bit of wind. Maybe wind affected those planes, but they said nothing about moisture issues whatsoever.
Yes. Yes, we're not saying that there couldn't have been ice on there. Certainly, having ice on the plane wouldn't knock out the communications.
Well, the ice on the plane exactly is not going to cause the engines to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. And like you said, the communications knocked out, the engines stop. Even there's some buffoon posting that says that, well, the reason, and he's not a pilot, he's not an avionics person. The reason, because I'm quoting the avionics people as a contrast, the reason that he couldn't get any thrust was because he was working so hard against that ice, and the reason that there might have been some fire coming out of, listen to this, out of one of those engines, was because the excess work on the engine versus that ice caused the firing to come out of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can say anything, you know. And the pilots are saying that the engines can handle that ice. And this is what one of the key captain for the Colgan Air Group said. He said, look, I thought maybe they were talking about an ice buildup on the tail section. Now, that is an issue. But you see, he said that that's not an issue for the power of that plane if it's on the wings, even if there was ice.
Well, you couldn't see any ice on the tail, and they showed that. In fact, the tail wasn't on fire at all. Okay, so, in fact, it looked like the tail had been broken off of the rest of the airplane.
It was broken off, yeah, it was broken off. And it snapped off far away from the fuel that
mm-hmm.
stayed relatively intact.
Now this pungent odor that they describe, other than air, I mean, we know what kerosene smells like when it's burning. So we would know what a petroleum based fire would be like, a fuel based fire, and what people were probably describing were the tires and the materials, you know, seat cushions.
True.
You have people in there too.
True.
But, you know, you have organic substances and you have a variety of materials, and all of these things are burning. But then we have, again, these magical landing gear that are indestructible, just like on 9/11. You know, you have the landing gear lying out on the sidewalk. Do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when you look at some of the videos by the major networks, you don't get a good feel for perspective. But when you look at the home videos, they're wobbling all over the place. You see a central fireball. You see some mangled metal. God help the souls that are in there. But I don't see these bizarre images that I see on the CNN or whatever video where it's almost like they've, all I know is that the home videos, whether of the World Trade Center, real home videos, you can get a feel for what you're looking at. Some trees, some fires, some homes. You don't get a feeling of reality when you look at the ones that were put out by the big networks. And as far as whether or not those wheels were upright and away from the flames, I can't tell.
Now, how did these people get these videos to CNN? This is something to consider, that they're showing these early on in this investigation. They're showing the home videos. How did they get them to CNN? These people are interviewed on telephone.
Yeah, you're right. Again, we know from September the 11th and from that there were manipulations of these videos. What's important here is that the news networks have their own agenda on this crash.
Yes.
Whether they do it through video clipping or through associated witness, or through espionage outright, or through trying to cover up the actual cause. Now, the networks for sure. What do you people regard a network that actually tries to convince you about what didn't happen? In other words, their first role when they looked at this crash is to convince the people that something else happened. Rather than reporting what happened, they immediately said that it was ice buildup that caused the plane to go out of control. And at the same time, they did not report the engine fire, it was more than an engine fire. So if they're covering up the engine fires, then why wouldn't they manipulate the video? I don't know what scene they're looking at there, but it's the same group anyway.
Yeah, I've heard two or three of these people who have shot video that don't know what the building is standing up next to, what they're shooting at. In other words, in the vicinity of the fire, they can't answer the question when asked, is that the next door neighbor's house there, or is that a garage? They can't with any certainty answer that, which leads one to contemplate that possibly, or to deduce that possibly they weren't there at all.
That's a good deduction. Or you can actually plant people in an environment like this. You have enough time potentially to do it if you know what you're going to do in advance. If you know a day before or 2 days before that you're going to commit a criminal act, then you would have your associates or agents running cover.
Yeah.
Some of those would bear false witness. But here's what we know for sure. Now, Mr. Nikoloff's done quite a bit of research on some potential faux witnesses as well, but what we know, and everybody can know immediately, is that that plane was on fire, okay? Now, there are only a few things that can cause a plane to be on fire, but it's another thing when the plane drops from the sky and loses communication. That has to be some kind of explosion or other kind of device that would disable the plane, but the most likely and simple thing to do is to shoot a missile into the engine, into the cockpit, blow the thing to shreds. Now, does it blow up right away? Not necessarily. It can destroy it, and then it can fall to the ground. Yeah? It doesn't have to be blown into bits now.
Yeah, we've seen that representation in countless war movies where pilots are struck by fire from another aircraft or from missiles on the ground or cannon fire, and they get hit, and there's some smoke. You have oil leakage or some hydraulic fluid or maybe even fuel, but it doesn't necessarily ignite.
We know that the Fox News manipulated some video because Mr. Nikoloff was fortunate enough to send it to me, and I agreed that there was some video absconding going. But what's even perhaps more convincing for the skeptic in the crowd is that they attempted to fabricate the control tower tape until the public caught them in the act. Their objective in doing that was to indicate that the guy had ice and had to go up, which is the normal thing. Remember, Jim Murray was on your show predicting that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fox News called a fabrication. They lied to all of us. They said that the pilot was said on the transmission that he was forced to go up. He was going to ascend. And that's fabricated.
Mm-hmm. Now, they release a tape or a recording. I'm using the word tape just as, you know, a representation of a recording. Likely it was a digital recording, and it was on some kind of portable media. Now, first of all, we can't assume that that's the original recording. We can't assume that because there's a cover-up going on here. So we have to be suspicious of every piece of evidence. But let's imagine that it was real, and up to a point. In other words, we're hearing the real voices of air traffic controllers in somewhat of a reasonable time sequence. But there is a point where they can insert silence into the recording, and they can make it that way for 5 seconds or 1 second or 20 seconds or a minute or 5 minutes or an hour. And make us listen and say, oh, one draws a conclusion. Oh, you see, they did lose contact with the plane because you're not hearing a response. But
well,
we know Richard Nixon was missing 18 minutes of such a recording made in the White House.
Everything, though, thus far, whether that tape is correct or not, everything stacks up to a sudden loss in communication. Everything does.
Mm-hmm.
When talking to county officials, talking to people that talk to the guys there, before the FBI or the CBT or the ABC even got involved, there's enough testimony to indicate that there's a basis for this real sudden change in status.
Mm-hmm.
And which does go along with the 800 feet plus drop in 5 seconds. So that seems to be... But I'm saying that that's the real reality of that is seemingly proved by the fact that Fox News wanted to change that. You know, they attacked that and said he wasn't descending. He was trying to go up, you know. But the tape reel that is available, whether real or not, is talking about normal descent.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have the female reporter that was talking to the lead investigator for the NTSB, trying to goad him into saying, oh, it was the ice, before they had even gotten the black
boxes.
Yeah,
he had just gotten, what was it, 8 or 7 in the morning or the morning after the disaster. She goaded, and Geraldo Rivera was goading. Allison, Brian was attacked by a number of pilots, Fox News, Brian, I don't know his last name. They just couldn't fathom about how he could lie, twist the truth, misquote the NTSB. And the poor American people, they have no idea. And then they end the email saying, you know, I've been a fan of Fox News, but I shut the television off at least for today. They have no idea that it's malicious, you know.
Yeah, well, evidently they hadn't seen Bill O'Reilly either.
right.
And enough said about him, I guess. What I'm seeing here is...
I want to read just this for you, John, if you don't mind. This is what a pilot said to Fox News. I've been listening all morning to your reports. There's an error in what you've been reporting. The Colgan was not told to climb up to 2,300 feet. They were told to make descent and maintain the 2,300 feet. They were at 4,000, coming down to 2,300. This is the correct exact altitude for the position. They were trying to make it out like it was pilot error, that the guy went up instead of went down. That was the whole plot by Fox. Why are they so insistent on indicating that this was a natural occurring event, either weather or pilot error?
Well,
what are they hiding?
They're hiding quite a bit, you see, because if it can be proven that that this plane was shot out of the air with any kind of weapon, we're not conclusively saying even that it was a missile. Because we discussed some other technologies that are available, and we've seen examples of some of those on 9/11 in regard to
building. But I honestly think it was a missile. I'm just going to say that. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. I just do. I just let everybody. I do because of the one-sided nature of the explosions and the fire, the fact that people did report an explosion, that the media refuses to report that explosion, and the fact that they refuse to report nationally the fire on the plane before it fell. No.
Mm-hmm. Now, assuming that there were a total of 50 people killed, we have another mass murder. So they have an interest in covering that up.
Well, that's your motive, then.
Right? We have another mass murder.
Yeah, that's the motive for the cover-up. I mean, to think about this, Mr. Don, that the evil of her having to go through that and having her husband dying that way while she's on the cell phone with him as he's being torn to shreds, dropping down.
Yeah.
Then the same wicked ones even kill her, in a fiery inferno, just like her husband.
Yes. Now, if we look at the general MO of producing these witnesses, and I say producing these witnesses because in my mind, and I think in yours, and anyone that really studies these videos and listens to these interviews, they're going to be left with the impression that these people shouldn't have even been interviewed, that they had nothing substantial related to being an eyewitness. They weren't eyewitnesses. Number one, two of them didn't know what was going on. Three of them didn't see it happen. They all came up on the scene. I suppose if I or you got in my car and drove up there, we could have lobbied to become witnesses, and they wouldn't have put us on because
they wanted to become actors and famous, or there's some kind of a phony.
Yeah, they knew. Now, why do we say that? Well, they did this on 9/11, didn't they? We actually know of a recording that exists where a spook is actually interviewed by Rick Leventhal, who becomes quite irate over the fact that this guy won't identify his purpose for being there, his mission, basically.
Yeah. So what's your purpose for being here? And the guy says, oh, I'm just hanging out, kind of, he puts his hands in his pocket and fiddles with something, and he just got caught into, then you can see a guy with an FBI coat on ushering witness after witness after witness into Leventhal, another Fox News operative. So it's, and one guy has makeup on. I can tell you, I've been in enough of these things.
Yeah.
One guy's got fake stuff on to make it look like blood. It's just,
Now, these witnesses have some common threads that actually even tie them together.
The ones that you've been looking into?
Yeah. There's a commonality of out-of-town addresses. Mm-hmm. There is a commonality of multiple aliases. So we have something here far, far revealing than what they're showing on TV. I can say that.
Well, that's right, and you do make a very good point as to what CNN is doing interviewing somebody that doesn't have much to say. and also interviewing somebody that was talking about icicles, whereas the real witnessing, which I was looking for and looking for, because, you know, the suspicion, look, people, the thing falls like a rock out of the sky. Most everybody, including the woman whose house was there, said the thing fell right straight into her house, you know, kind of like nose first, all right? I know NTSB is trying to dispute that now, but saying the witnesses are wrong, I mean, but the woman's house was the house that got knocked, right? Okay? So I'm going like, that can't be. You know how that ever is, people? You go like, it's not, it can't be. And then you start thinking, where's the fire? What hit that plane? What bomb? What missile? What's going on? And there, lo and behold, the primary witnesses are talking explosion and fire. You never heard it on your networks.
Yeah. That's a definite. And there are, you know, there's a cover-up underway. You can see that because they're steering the information along a particular path. And it began that night. It began with a witness that has, you know, I would wonder what is this, Kathleen's expertise?
Well, this is the point that CNN would manipulate that, as a basis for ICE. Okay, we've got an eyewitness that's talking about ICE on a tree. You know? And so you know there's something very, very suspect about that. But you know what's also important? They've made Miss Eckert out as if she was upset at Obama for closing Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the ICE thing. That's a phony. She
yeah.
wanted that place shut down. Look, it's likely that Brzezinski and company decided to make a phony. They were going to say Guantanamo is going to be shut down to pacify her and her lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
Now, as soon as they could get rid of her, then they'll change, and they did that. They changed their, they flipped, right?
Yeah. There was another researcher, too, on the plane, someone who had been researching the atrocities in Rwanda.
Yes. Yes, okay. And she's a very important player. Both of them said this. We're going to get to the bottom of the criminals behind this, the attack on humankind. And they're in the same plane, a plane that's never crashed before, that's never dropped from the sky, that's never had a serious fire in the air, and that there's never been a fatality for, with who knows countless thousands of, that has been able to fly into hurricanes, that can fly in snowstorms, does fly in snowstorms, does fly in thunderstorms. There's no thunderstorm. There's no snowstorm. Did you know that Fox News said there was a foot of snow in Buffalo? Does it
really?
Not start? Yes. It 8 hours after the crash. Did you know Fox News said that there's always ice in the air in Buffalo?
Well, Al Roker didn't say that, actually. Al Roker said it was 33 degrees to the north of where the crash occurred. 33 degrees is above freezing.
Do you know that it was 50 to 60 degrees the 2 days before? It could very well be that they were flying mostly in weather that was well above the freezing point.
Mm-hmm.
So, there may have been a little time when you know, these planes catch up a little ice, but just on the, from the very most that we can say, and even that might be suspect because the other dash came in, no issues, the other planes came in, no issues, but is that on the outer fringe of the wing, maybe that plane caught up with a little ice. It's
mm-hmm.
not enough to cause can the ice cause the engine to stop? Both engines. Right? It's going to crash with the engines running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finished. End of story.
In our closing moments here, Dr. K, do you recall in any of the videos that you've seen, seeing even a drop of water being sprayed on the fire or an ounce of foam? anywhere in an attempt to put that fire out?
No, I saw him let it burn. I didn't see anything going on.
Now they got the black boxes. That house and that plane burned for at least 2 hours that we know on video, just according to the timeline. Actually, maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes or more. The plane was still there. They got the black boxes. Why didn't it evaporate? Why didn't it incinerate?
You mean like the one on 911?
Disintegrate, I mean. Incinerate.
You mean like the one in the Pentagon?
Yeah, or in the World Trade Center.
Always that back section is going to snap off, isn't it? And there's a lot of wreckage there, isn't there? The whole plane is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, with at least 3 hours of hot burning. And
yeah,
the gas leak from the house burning up even more. Yeah, you've got the whole wreckage. You've got you've got the landing gear spokes. You've got everything you need.
Most accounts, if not all the accounts, said that the landing gear was not down on the plane. Those that saw the plane didn't describe seeing the landing gear. Now, the NTSB spokesperson made the comment, and I brought this to your attention this evening, that this was going to be an easier investigation because the debris was not scattered over miles.
Right. Well, now, but she was pushed into that by that crazy woman.
Well, basically he was saying everything is in one place.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means that the tires would have burned, which would account for the smell that people described.
Yeah, you would expect them to burn, absolutely. Absolutely.
And these tires that they showed actually looked like the pictures on 9/11. You know, the landing gear, it had similar breaks in the metal.
Well, I haven't really had a chance to look at it too thoroughly, but it was a little bit odd that the tires wouldn't be consumed because you would expect them to be, you know, burnt to a crisp. But there is something, I don't know if it's a CNN video or one of them, that they could come up so quickly with that and have that available. Somebody should study it to see if they fabricated it, because it just just proves that a visual image is a very powerful thing. And if they're faking videos all the time, why should we ever watch anything that they do? We know they faked videos on 911, and everybody's under mind control. We've been hit with those images so much that we haven't been able to break free from this whole idea that these planes went through like knife through butter into these.
Now, has there been any law enforcement agency up there to investigate this? Or do we just have the firemen standing around, letting the fire burn out, and then the guys that come and sift through the wreckage?
Yeah, then your official Washington, D.C. boys.
Yeah,
no, I don't think you're going to get anything but D.C.'s, like the NIST stamp on the World Trade Center. I'm sure that when those who are suspicious of a missile strike, it'll never come out in the official report, if that's what you're asking. Of course not. No.
Yeah.
They probably will never mention the fact that the plane was three-fourths engulfed with fire, and the fact that the one wing that wasn't was relatively uncharred, at least in the early parts of the crash.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say that. They're there to cover it up. But, no, if you expect anything to come from from the District of Columbia, that is going to be honorable. That's why we were talking about the On Your Own News. This is the revolution. On Your Own News. We need people to go into Buffalo, the good people that are from the area and that know those people and that can try to help get the correct story for the sake of those people that were killed. You know, they don't want any lawsuits. They're going to cover this thing up.
And yeah, they're blaming. Blame it on ICE. You can't sue ICE, right?
No, right. And the whole idea that they actually murdered the number one widow and suffering widow of a 911 victim, you know, the most active person, the most respected. I'm telling you what. They must have put in at least a reasonable cover-up mechanism in the media, because the biggest cover-up you're going to see in this is through the Wolf Blitzers, Geraldo Rivera's, and if you analyze the early phases of this, you're going to see the cover-up, any of you investigators in the field. There will be no doubt in your mind that they're attempting to alter the story.
Yeah, well, they've refrained from showing any of the live videotaped witnesses from the beginning of the event. And, you know, the timelines coincide with when I felt prompted to turn on my television set and look at the images. They hadn't doctored them up yet. They didn't have the time to doctor them, not in this particular case. Buffalo is too far away from New York City to do that. Actually, they weren't even in Buffalo, so.
Right, and it would be interesting to know if they have people witnessing to the tires on the basis that that one would expect that to be consumed in the conflagration. But one most important thing is, if you analyze the people, as you've been doing, that talk about, well, it was sputtering and it was kind of coming down, we have on record the Colgan pilots saying they don't do that, okay?
And normally, don't they bring in a representative of the manufacturer?
Well, they made sure they kept Bombardier as far away from this as you could be. You don't see him interviewing them, because they're going to say, we've never lost a plane, we've never had a fatality. They have a better track record than we do. You know, and you don't think it's not a coup for Boeing and some of these big players that they could knock a dash out of the sky, considering how popular this fuel-efficient plane is? And people are going to say, I'm a dash plant. I don't know anything about it other than, you know, the basic knowledge of the issues of cover-up. You know, so,
well, we're not trying to sensationalize this thing. We're trying to get to the truth. And I'll tell you, I wasn't close enough to the fire to smell it, but I can tell you it stinks to high heaven, the whole thing.
I tell you what, this little lady, she was a fighter, and she said she was never going to give up. And in her lawsuit, she says it will not quit until the perpetrators are brought to justice and to trial. This was also what the Rwanda truth seeker was attempting to do. And she was an enemy of the regime there, you see. So they killed them.
Yes.
I have no doubt. The reason I have no doubt isn't because of the fires on the plane. It's because of the behavior of the Jewish media. They have just taken this thing as if it's their pet peeve to make sure that they abscond with the truth. Now, that means they're involved. That means Mossad's involved, because they're just moles for the perpetration of these crimes. That means the secret police are involved. And these secret police are probably not our government in this case. We're talking about the Israelis that have their bloody hand in this one too. I have no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was a threat to the Zionists. Bush is gone. Cheney's gone, you know? They're not totally gone, but you know what I'm saying? It's the Obama regime that's got blood on its hands in Pakistan already. What's the difference between killing 50 souls there, already 50 dead from missile strikes? What, do we have any kind of special sort of souls that we can have on this earth, that it's we can be compassionate to an American, but we can still be a good guy and hug and kiss everybody, but we can kill an innocent somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
If we can kill an innocent anywhere, we can kill an innocent anywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
And we want to stress, it's not just these two ladies that died likely for standing for a cause, which really all Americans, any American that's really patriotic, should appreciate them having done. They've shown a remarkable amount of courage and persistence and intestinal fortitude. And there are another 48 victims that deserve as much attention that died needlessly, just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, it's horrifying. And it's really horrifying, the degree of the cover-up and all the torquing of our minds with dirty tricks and false posters and not interviewing pilots and experts. And mm-hmm. of course, when ABC did interview the expert, he said, hey, you know, it's pretty romantic that you want to believe in the ice, but it's going to be found out that it wasn't ice.
Yeah. You know? Well, Dr. K, what parting suggestion or message would you leave with our listening audience tonight? You mentioned them, you know, contributing in their research efforts or, helping.
Do it on your own news, people. Make a syllabus or a synopsis of this act by reviewing the cover-up that the major networks were doing from the beginning, timeline it, compare it to the comments from the transportation expert, compare that to the... I know it's very confusing when you do the eyewitness accounts because you never want to think an eyewitness could be a fake, but listen to it carefully. Try to find the quotations about the plane being on fire. Preserve that. Preserve it all. You're going to find a cover-up that and here we have the potential, since there is a cover-up, of a murder of one of the finest Americans that we have, and there couldn't be anything more wicked than making her go through that on the other passengers just to protect the Jewish monopoly, and that's what it is, and that's what the proof is showing. But you have to do your own research, okay? You have to check and see. Yeah.
When you consider that one of the most celebrated of the so-called witnesses is a self-admitted questioner of the folks there, in other words, they're willing to portray this guy as an eyewitness, even though he had to ask other
witnesses
what's
going on,
what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely different than Tomasito or Mrs. Weiner or the others that reported. One guy who I'd like to find has posted that, look, I was there and actually I saw the engine on fire. But we haven't been able to confirm him. The others are all thoroughly confirmed. So anybody from the area, you know, look, this is for the sake of the souls and for the sake of the future of our people as a human race. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to feel guilty, people die. It's horrifying, but we're going to all die. We're going to all go be before our God. But if you know something and you saw something, communicate it. We'll be happy to communicate back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. Well, Dr. K, we're out of time. Okay. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, and we look forward to your next visit.
Okay.
Give our best to Miss Judy, by the way.
I will.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Dr. Qasem Khalil. Dr. K can be visited at his website, knowledgehousepublishers.com. I encourage you to get a copy of his book, Wrongly Blamed. It's the story of the truer story of 9/11. And what actually occurred in London on 7/7/2006 when they had the London bombings as well. He went down the rabbit hole on both of those stories. A lot of very original research. And you owe it to yourselves and to the victims to know what really happened. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and BBS Radio for that matter. I'd like to thank Seth Hendrick for the sound this evening, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Tune in again tomorrow. We've got another great guest, another great show planned for you. In the meantime, I wish you all a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.